Tantra Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Whiskey and Sin, an Omegaverse novel, by Emily Rath, narrated by Deontay Black and Tor Tom. Chapter 1. Silas. This was rock bottom. Silas stood in the middle of a disgusting gas station bathroom, and the sinking feeling hit him. I never want to leave. Sure, it smelled like a urinal cake in here, and there was nowhere to sit except the toilet with a broken seat, but it was better than walking back out that door. Yep, rock fucking bottom. A heavy fist pounded twice on the door, rattling the bolt and the latch. Then a deep male voice barked, "You got 1 minute, Si. Hurry the fuck up." Silas flinched, gripping tighter to the sides of the sink. Letting out a shaky breath, he glanced up, meeting the gaze of his reflection in the cracked mirror. Above him, the fluorescent lights buzzed. A fly crawled in a lazy spiral pattern across the glass. He watched it flick its iridescent wings. Halfway. That's what Dallas said before he got out of the SUV to start pumping gas. They were halfway to Bridgeport, halfway to Silas's miserable fate. And now Silas was locked in a dirty bathroom, halfway to a panic attack. He sucked in another breath through his nose, blowing it out his mouth, watching his reflection do the same. "Just breathe. You're not there yet. There's still time." Time to do what? Escape? Not likely. Floyd and Dallas were worse than a pair of bloodhounds. He couldn't even walk from the SUV to the bathroom without one of them holding him tight by the arm. Silas didn't exactly blame them. He was a known flight risk, after all. He suppressed a shiver, choking back memories too painful to relive. Don't look back. Never look back. There would be no running, but Silas didn't want to go to Bridgeport either. The only thing waiting for him there was getting force-bonded to a pack of drug-running alphas, trapped for the rest of his life with a pack he didn't choose. Everyone thought the life of Omegas was so glamorous. Welcome to the real world. Silas focused on his reflection in the mirror. He always wore a hoodie if he could help it. He didn't like it when people stared at his scars. His beanie was pulled low over his forehead. His brown skin was sallow, his dark eyes empty. "This is what numb looks like," he thought to himself, gripping tighter to the sink. But Silas didn't want to be numb anymore. He'd spent the last 7 years suffering the effects of a hormone-suppressing treatment. The lying sons of bitches at the Omega Center told him it was a flu shot. Everything that made him an Omega was erased in an instant. Cut off, numbed, full sensory castration. He couldn't sense pheromones, couldn't go into heat, couldn't bond or breed. It was a fate worse than death. Well, being sold out of a center and forced to turn tricks was a close second. Bang! Bang! "Come on, OB, we're burning daylight." OB. Omega / Beta. Only Dallas called him that. He gasped, hurriedly tapping the knob on the hand dryer to set it off. The sound roared in his ears, and he called over it, "Be right out!" Floyd may be mean, but Dallas was sadistic. If Silas didn't leave this bathroom in the next 10 seconds, Dallas would be coming in after him, and then he'd have a raging alpha on his hands. He flicked back the latch on the door. Dallas immediately banged it open, filling the small space with his presence. After 7 long years, Silas's suppressant shot was finally wearing off. He just had no control over the how or when. He was like a busted radio, only catching static unless you jostled him just right. In this moment, the alpha's scent was sharp in his nose, like a floor cleaner, metallic and lemony. Dallas shoved him up against the wall, one hand at his throat as he squeezed. The pale, freckled skin of his arm was exposed up to the elbow, showing off his detailed gang ink, all symbols of his status and affiliation with Pack Rainier.
"Don't ever make me wait for you again. We got a schedule to keep."
"Sorry,"
Silas rasped, his pulse racing as Dallas leaned in closer, giving him a long sniff. Silas's gut twisted as he fought to contain a whimper.
"You're starting to smell good, OB."
Dallas's nose brushed against his jaw as he helped himself to another whiff of Silas's faint Omega scent.
"About time, too.
Ava was worried you'd be a dud forever. He loosened his hold on Silas's neck, but Silas didn't dare move.
You excited to meet your new pack?
Silas nodded.
I bet they treat you real nice, Dallas crooned. Fill all your sweet holes at once. Have you begging for more? That'll be fun, right?
Yes, Silas said on a soft breath. So much fun. In truth, the thought sickened him. Dallas leaned in again.
You keep smelling this good for me. Maybe we'll practice when we get to the motel. It's been a while since you and I had some fun, hasn't it?
Fear spread through Silas's veins like ice, freezing him to stillness. He pressed himself against the wall, Dallas's hand still at his throat. He was suddenly drowning in a sea of memories. Dallas was cruel. Dallas was selfish. He took and took. He liked to harm. Pain with his pleasure. Always pain first. Stop. Silas sank into that numb place inside himself and nodded again.
Yeah, well, we can do that.
A little goodbye party, Dallas added with a smirk.
Numbness. Stillness.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
Good. Now get in the car. I'm done waiting for your ass.
Dallas dropped his hand to Silas's arm and tugged him out of the bathroom, dragging him towards the idling black SUV. Floyd stood waiting by the open back door. He was a beefy alpha, built like a linebacker. He had his arms full of junk food, bags of chips, jerky sticks, powdered donuts.
Si, I got you a couple chicken and corn taquitos and a banana. Ava says you need more fruit, and there's a beast blast in the cup holder.
Silas grimaced. Gas station taquitos and an energy drink? Yeah, Omega's really out here living the life. Thanks, Floyd, he replied, climbing into the back seat.
I'm not eating any of that shit, Dallas snapped as he shut Silas's door.
Well, what are you going to do?
Floyd replied, climbing into the front seat with his hoard of junk food.
Not a lot of options in there.
We'll get burgers or something.
With him?
Floyd jabbed a thumb at Silas.
We'll do a drive-thru.
Dallas rolled the SUV out onto the two-lane country highway.
You'll behave, won't you, OB?
He added, glancing back at Silas in the rearview mirror. Silas had come to hate the sight of those icy blue eyes. Worse than that was the creepy smile that spread from ear to ear as Dallas watched him. Swallowing down his nerves, he nodded.
I'll be good.
Not like he had much choice. They child locked the back door so Silas couldn't get out on his own, and they only took country roads and strictly drove the speed limit. Fewer checkpoints out here, fewer cops, fewer people to notice if Silas got creative and started calling for help. But no one was going to help him. Silas Wright was on his own. It was the most resounding lesson of his life. From a front seat, Dallas slurped on his drink.
Keep your yap shut, OB. And we'll get you a milkshake to wash down those shitty fucking taquitos.
Floyd chuckled, tearing into his bag of chips. If you didn't have the shits before, maybe we'll soon, he said through crunchy mouthfuls.
Good point. Better skip the milkshake if we're gonna party later.
Dallas cranked up the radio, blaring his metal music. Silas looked down at his lap where he was holding the pair of warm taquitos and a piece of wax paper. Sounds hummed all around him. The radio, the rumble of the tires hitting the road, the grunt of the engine. He tuned it all out, his every breath and being focused on that one word. Halfway. Halfway to his final destination. Halfway to the slow dying of a new life, forsponded to a pack of criminal alphas. Halfway. He set the taquitos aside untouched. Taking another slow, even breath, his resolve hardened. There are moments in life when you're at rock bottom, and your only choice is to stop digging down and start digging to the side instead. Staring at the back of Dallas's head, a new thought settled in Silas's mind. There's no way in hell I'm going to Bridgeport.
Chapter 2. Silas.
At Dallas's insistence, they stopped at the next exit for burgers and fries. While Dallas was reaching in his pocket for his wallet, Silas's eyes settled on his hip. That's where he saw it. A gun. Dallas's gun was just sitting there. All Silas had to do was reach between the seats and he could pull it from its holster. He'd seen enough action movies to know shooting the driver of a moving car could be disastrous. His mind flooded with images of cars on fire, rolling down the road, wrapping around trees. The idea of such a horrible death chilled his anger. It took almost an hour for him to build up his courage to try for it. In fact, he had all but given up on himself. But then, Dallas had to look at him in the mirror with those icy blue eyes and say,
"So, who do you want first?"
Silas didn't need to ask for clarification. Dallas had a belly full of food. He was amped up on energy drinks, and he was nursing his third cigarette. He'd be looking to pull over soon. Silas knew what would happen once he did. Floyd chuckled, popping back handfuls of chocolate-covered raisins. Glancing over his shoulder at Silas, he flashed him a knowing wink. The image of being spit-roasted by these two alphas churned him up inside. "Try it, and I'll bite it off." The radio sparked with static, a loud crackling that set Silas's teeth on edge. Dallas leaned forward, fiddling with the dial.
Let me do it,"
Floyd grunted, dusting his fingers off on his shoulder before poking at the buttons. The static got louder. Dallas slapped Floyd's hand away.
"Leave off it."
"This is it." Silas didn't think. He just moved. With both alphas distracted, he lunged for Dallas's gun. It slipped easily out of a holster, and Silas jerked it back between the seats.
"Hey, what? Oh, fuck. Fuck, he's got my gun!"
In movies, action sequences always slow way down. Bullets fly from the end of a gun, and you watch them spin through the air. Cars leap barriers and flip and turn with the grace of breaching whales. But real life is very different. Silas didn't know what happened from the moment he snatched the gun to the moment he was hanging upside down, suspended by his seatbelt in the back of a smashed-up SUV. He blinked awake, his senses flooded with all the smells of a car crash. Burning tie rubber on asphalt, the tang of twisted metal in his mouth, the chalky airbag dust coating his nose and making him sneeze. He groaned. How long had he been out? He needed to move. He needed to flee while he still had a chance. It might already be too late. An echoing groan from the front seat sent his pulse racing as his hands flailed desperately for the buckle of his seatbelt. Finding it, he tried to brace against the roof with his other arm as he gave the buckle a hard press with his thumb. It clicked loose, and his body sank like a sack of potatoes. He swallowed his cries as he righted himself onto his hands and knees in the cramped space. A searing pain stabbed down his left leg, sharp enough to bring tears to his eyes.
"Please, don't be broken." How was he going to run on a broken leg?
He flipped over onto his butt, reaching gingerly for his left leg. He only had the headlights to see by, but it was enough. No blood, no shaft of white bone sticking out. He ran his hands down the length of his shin. It hurt like crazy, but felt intact, enough to risk running. And it was time to run. The two alphas were still strapped in the front seats. Silas scooted forward, peering between the seats. Dallas was unmoving, his eyes open and unfixed. Blood streaked down the side of his pale face into his bleached blonde hair. Thick droplets dripped onto the gray roof in time with the blinking headlights. He was dead. Good. Fuck you, Alpha Hole. Floyd was still alive. His head was all but touching the roof as his seatbelt fought to hold him suspended. Shattered glass peppered his face and chest like the spray of buckshot, but he was still breathing. At any moment, he might open his eyes and try to take control of the situation. Not wasting another second, Silas wedged himself between the front seats and stretched out his arm, reaching desperately for his prize. Dallas's gun rested by the rearview mirror in a pool of broken windshield glass. Silas pinched the muzzle of the gun between two fingers and dragged it over the glass back towards him. Floyd groaned again, louder this time. Silas swallowed his panic. Jerking the gun from the last 6 inches over the glass, he palmed it and scooted back into the safety of a back seat. Heart racing, he raised the gun and pointed it at Floyd. "I'm done," he muttered. "I want out. I never wanted in." He blinked back his tears, trying to control the shaking of his hand as he pressed the muzzle against Floyd's sweaty hand. He had to do it.
He had to pull the trigger. If he didn't, Floyd would find him. He'd send Ava to find him. Floyd deserved to die. He'd done so many terrible things. Silas had witnessed them with his own eyes. His hand shook as his finger curled around the trigger.
"Do it,"
he muttered to himself.
"Come on."
He was about to shoot a man. Killer. Murderer. Criminal.
Silas. Ow.
Holy fuck. Floyd was talking. He was waking up.
Silas. You alive?
Silas held his breath, staying quiet.
Dallas.
Silas looked around, wild-eyed. The child-locked doors were still shut, the glass intact. Thank God, the crash shattered the rear window, because Silas really didn't want to climb over a dead man. He would do it if it meant freedom, but it would be one more shitty memory to haunt his restless dreams.
Sigh. Help me,
Floyd muttered.
Legs hurt.
No way. Silas was done. Leaning forward, he tapped the gun against the back of Floyd's head again. You feel that, Floyd? I've got a loaded gun to your head. Floyd groaned.
Come on, Sigh.
It's my turn to talk, he snapped. I'm out. Do you hear me? I'm gonna let you live, and you're gonna go back to Ava, and you're gonna tell her I'm dead. I had the chance to kill you, and I didn't, Floyd, because I'm not like you. I will never be like you. I'm done with this life. Don't try to find me, or I'll finish what I fucking started.
Making a mistake, little Omega,
Floyd muttered.
She'll never stop.
Silas scowled at the back of his head.
Never will I.
Raising the gun, he slammed the butt of it against Floyd's temple, knocking the big man unconscious. He didn't know how much time that bought him, and he wasn't waiting around to find out. Careful of the glass, Silas crawled under the back row of seats towards the broken rear window. All the stuff in the back of the SUV had been tossed around, including Floyd's backpack. Silas had no idea what was inside, but even if all he found was a pack of smokes, it was more than what Silas currently had in his pockets. He dragged it with him out of the back window. His legs ached, but he rolled out of the SUV and stumbled to his feet, swaying the tall grass next to the wreckage. He slung the backpack over his shoulder and tucked the gun in at his waistband. Then he did a little half-turn, wincing as he put too much weight on his injured leg. The smell of rain hung thick in the air. In the distance, thunder rumbled.
Perfect.
Caught in the rain with nowhere to go. He had no idea where he was. Somewhere in the gently sweeping mountains between St. Albans and Bridgeport. Silas's eyes followed the signs of chaos up the sloping hill back towards the road. The scene was illuminated by the red glow of the blinking taillights. Deep divots in the ground told him they rolled all the way down the hill before smashing into the trees. Silas was lucky to be alive.
And now, Silas had to disappear. Off the grid. He was going to become a ghost. The Invisible Man.
Oh, Silas, right? Yeah, he died. An Omega who never reached his full potential. Tragic. Turning away from the wreckage of a car, the wreckage of his entire miserable fucking life, he tucked his other arm through the backpack's shoulder strap and stumbled back up the hill just as the first drops of rain started to fall.
Chapter 3. Bear. Rain pelted the windshield in heavy sheets, limiting visibility to nil. Bear lifted his foot off the accelerator, letting the truck slow to 25 miles per hour as he flicked his brights on. Now I can't see a damn thing. The glare from the rain made his visibility even worse. He flicked the brights back off, resigned to coasting his way home down the winding mountain road. He grew up on these roads and knew his way blindfolded. But deer were antsy this time of year. The last thing he wanted was to hit one and have it bang up his truck. As the thunder rumbled, he reached for the volume knob, cranking the music louder. He hummed along, drumming his thumbs on the wheel. The truck cruised around a tight bend in the road and, shit! Bear swerved left, heart pounding. He swerved right to overcorrect, and his back tires squealed, fishtailing on the slick mountain road. Once he was back in control, he slammed on his brakes, his eyes darting to his rearview mirror. I almost hit someone. What the hell was someone doing walking this road at night in a thunderstorm? He slowed his truck to a stop as he looked for the dark silhouette of the hitchhiker through the pouring rain. He turned off the music and waited. Where are you? He muttered, still looking in the mirror. Throwing his truck in reverse, he pressed the gas, his engine grunting as the truck rolled back uphill a few dozen feet. As soon as his taillights lit up the hiker, Bear tapped the brake, surveying the odd scene. It was a man in a dark hoodie, average height and build. His face was hidden in the shadows. He wore a backpack, his hands clutching tight to the straps. The man stood against the guardrail, watching Bear watch him. Bear couldn't see his eyes, but he felt his gaze. The indecision, the fear. Bear could smell it. Suddenly the man turned and tried to run across the road. He only got about 3 steps before his left leg gave out. He stumbled forward, crying out in pain as he fell to his knees. It was a sharp, panic sound that pierced Bear straight through the chest. His throat went dry, and he felt the uncomfortable urge to help. Damn alpha instincts. This isn't your business, Bear. Whoever he was, and whatever he was doing on this road, the man was hurt. In an instant, Bear shifted fully into protector mode. Throwing his truck into park, he flicked on his hazards and shoved open his door. The rain pounded down, drenching him in seconds. The man was crawling on his knees, desperate to get away. "You all right?" he called. The man stilled like a startled deer. Bear walked towards him. "Hey, man, were you in an accident?" "I'm fine. Just go." "Where's your car?" Bear called again. "Let me help you. I don't need help." The man scrambled back up to his feet. With his heightened alpha senses, Bear could practically taste the man's pain. It gagged him, the tang of nervous sweat mixed with the thick iron taste of blood. "You're going to get killed out here. I didn't see you until I was right on top of you." "I'll stay off the road," the man grunted, still trying to hop away. His jeans were ripped at the knees, and he was trying not to put any weight on that left leg. "You're not fine," Bear replied, letting the cold autumn rain soak him down to the skin. "You're hurt. Bad from the looks of it. Let me help you," he repeated. "I don't need help." He was breathing hard and heavy, licking his lips as he tried to stagger away. Fuck. He swayed and then stilled, doubling over at the waist. He vomited all over his shoes and the road. Oh, shit. Bear was on him in 3 steps, catching him as he fell. The man was dead weight in his arms, passed out. "Perfect," Bear grunted, shifting the man until he could lift him in a fireman's carry. The man whimpered as Bear walked back over to his idling truck. The sound had Bear swallowing a growl. It was hard to tell in this rain, but Bear was pretty sure he was a beta. Other alphas since burned his nose, sharply acidic, while omegas bloomed almost sickly sweet. This guy just smelled like a dirty, unwashed guy. Bear threw open the passenger door and shoved him inside, backpack and all. Slamming the door shut, he ran around to the driver's side and got in. His shoulder-length hair was a wet mess. Ashy brown strands hung in his face, plastered to his neck. He dragged his fingers through it, slicking it away from his face. Then he flicked off his hazards and threw his truck into drive. The man groaned again, his breath fogging against the window. "Never a dull moment," Bear muttered. As soon as he got where the shoulder was wide enough, he turned the truck around. Spring Hill was the closest town with an after-hours ER. Bear was going to drive him straight there and drop him off. "And that's it," he told the unconscious man. "I can't be involved after that. Got it?" The man didn't reply.
Chapter 4. Silas. Silas jerked awake. His entire body screamed in pain, and he was shaking uncontrollably. Wet, cold, aching all over. His memories were all messed up. Dark shit he usually swallowed down deep was floating right at the surface, mingling with other memories that felt thinner than wisps of smoke. Hours spent trapped in the car with Floyd and his noxious junk food farts, Dallas's gun on his hip, the fight, the crash, the pain. Oh, God, the pain. Silas didn't know how long he'd spent hobbling down the dark mountain road in the pouring rain. Using the guardrail as a crutch, he put as much distance between himself and the crash as possible. A few cars passed but didn't stop. Silas wasn't surprised. People don't help other people, at least not for free. And Silas had nothing of value to offer or trade if anyone did stop. Just another drifter. Alone. Dangerous. Yeah, he'd probably drive on by, too. He was on his own. Wait. No. He was in a moving car. Panic burst in his gut, stealing all his air.
You should probably stay awake, said a deep voice to his left. I think you might have a concussion.
He spun to face the voice. On the other end of a truck's bench seat, a huge, tatted-up white guy sat behind the wheel. It was the guy from the road. He was wearing a pair of jeans, a dark t-shirt, and motorcycle boots. Like Silas, he was soaking wet. His shoulder-length brown hair was still dripping.
Who are you? Silas rasped. Why the hell did you pick me up?
You were stumbling through the rain on a broken leg, the man replied in that deep voice. I wasn't leaving you out there. If you don't like it, there's a door. But I'm not slowing down. If you want out, you'll just have to tuck and roll.
There was a music to his voice. Gravelly, yet smooth. Silas's eyes were getting used to the soft glow from the dashboard. He could make out more details now. The man was tall, easily over 6 feet, and broad-shouldered. He had a hipster lumberjack vibe, with a full beard and that long brown hair. Silas was sure he probably pulled it up into one of those stupid man buns. Tattoos stretched from the tips of his fingers all the way up his suntanned arms, peeking out the top of his t-shirt on his neck. Geometric patterns, a pin-up girl, a lion on his bicep, a spider web on his elbow. All in black. If any of them were gang or pack signs, Silas couldn't tell. He took a deep inhale, trying to breathe past the pain in his ribs. His senses were a mess, but he still picked up the unmistakable scent of dominance and control. Alpha, 100%, he sighed. Fucking perfect.
You can get a good sniff there, Beta, the man joked.
Where are you taking me?
There's a 24-hour clinic in Spring Hill. They'll be able to take a look at that leg.
What? A hospital? Panic flooded him again. No hospitals.
Tats gave him an incredulous look.
What part about broken leg are you not hearing? I know you're committed to your death march, but you need 2 working legs for that, and
I said no. I'm not going to a hospital. Let me out.
He reached for the door's handle and opened it a crack. Rain pelted inside.
Shit. Whoa, hold on. Tats barked. I was joking about the whole tuck and roll thing. Shut the damn door.
He reached across the bench seat, trying to pull the door closed himself. The quick movement sent Silas's pulse racing. The big alpha was suddenly so close. His scent was overwhelming. Spicy and woodsy and whimsical. Shit. Silas had never used that word to describe another man in his life. But it's like Tats secreted Christmas morning from his glands. Silas held his breath and leaned away.
Get the fuck off me.
He slapped his arm away, trying to ignore the feel of their skin touching. At the same time, he slammed the door shut. Tats immediately dropped his arm. Silas took a deep breath.
Please, don't touch me.
All right, man. No problem.
Tats moved back over to his side of the truck.
I was just trying to shut the door.
Just stop the truck, Silas panted.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?